pieces. He took up also, I like that. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the brink of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Praise God. I would like to use tonight for a title, "What do you want your portion to be?" What do you want your portion to be? We have this setting of scripture here. Elijah and Elisha had been together for some time. Elisha was by now had spent some time with Elijah. There was a time that the man of God was sometime after the incident on Mount Carmel that Elijah went to where Elisha was and cast that mantle, this same mantle we're reading about tonight, had cast it over on him and just seemingly, at least the way the King James Version makes it sound, that he just walked through that field where Elisha was and tossed that mantle on him, as though almost made it sound like he just spoke to him in passing and kept on walking. Amen. Elisha had a little protest. He wanted to go back and kiss his father and mother, but it seemed that Elijah somehow conveyed an urgency for him to act on what God was trying to show him right then. Praise God. He says to Elijah at this time of his passing that I would like to have a double portion. You can read a lot of things in 1 Kings and 2 Samuel where God had done many miracles through the ministry of Elijah. Amen. You know, there is a concept on which our capitalist economy stands as it relates to supply side economics, and we call it, you've heard the term many times, we call it supply and demand. And whatever the demand is and whatever the supply is what controls the price of what an item is. If there's a great supply and a lot of things and not much demand, that item will be able to be purchased rather cheaply or economically. Amen. On the other hand, even if it's something that seemingly doesn't have too much of a value, but if it's something that somebody wants or needs or desires, and there's not very many of them, then the demand, the supply is short, the demand goes up, and the price goes up. Hallelujah. Now, I know that there is a price to pay. Now, I'm not trying to come across tonight and tell you that God doesn't have any qualifications or he doesn't have any specifications or anything that you have to come up to. But I will tell you tonight that we have a God that has a limitless supply. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19. But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. We do not lack because of a short supply. If you're going through a Christian life and a walk and an experience without the supply that you need in your life, it is not because there is a shortage on what God has. Amen. The problem is the demand on how much you want. But I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you. There is no shortness. There is no lacking in the supply that God has for his people. Amen. Just take some time and recount some of the events in your mind of what Elijah done and some of those things that Elisha was with him and saw the miracles that God was doing in the life and the ministry of Elijah. Praise God. He had been with him pouring water on his hands. He was just as though a servant to the man of God. But it just so happened to see, amen, it happened to be that Elisha was close enough to the man of God to see the mighty miracles that God was doing in his life. Amen. Let me tell you something tonight, young people. If you will look around and take advantage of the resources of those that you love and know and worship with and realize that God has worked in their life, you can advantage yourself on the supply you also can have from God if you will see the life that's been lived. Amen. Somebody help me preach tonight. If you see God's working in their life and you see miracles are in their life and you see God is answering prayer, amen, take a look at how they live. Take a look at how they pray. Take a look at how they walk. Amen. And try to pattern yourself in the order of those that have an experience with God. Can you say amen? That's all Elisha was doing. He was seeing God works for Elijah. Amen. God moves on his behalf. God answers his prayers. Amen. God moves when he asked him to move. And he had so much confidence in Elijah that he said when it was time for him to go on home and be with the Lord, I'd like to have a double portion of that spirit. Amen. Amen. Come on, church. I'm trying to help you here tonight. I'm wondering, do I have anybody? Is there anybody I'm pastoring? Is there anybody I'm preaching to that would say right here in this service tonight, I'd like to have a little more God. I'd like to have a little more of Him. I'd like to be a little more like Him. I'd like to have a little more of the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I'd like to have some more of the miracles and the mighty acts of God in my life. I want to tell you something tonight. There is no shortage and there is no limit. We have a God that has a limitless supply, and He's looking for somebody that will say, I'd like to have more. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Kings chapter 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take Elijah up by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Amen. Here we go. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? Day. And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Again, when they got to Jericho, the same thing. Amen. Come on, church. You know how the church folks are sometimes. If we're not careful, sometimes we can be the most negative and we can be the ones that find out all the reasons why seemingly God's not going to do anything. But I challenge you tonight, let's not ever cast a cloud of doubt over our young people that somehow God is going to be less to them and He's not going to work in their life just like He worked in yours or just like He worked in the life of your forefathers. Amen. Elisha seemed to know it. And Elisha seemed to agree with him. But already Elisha is getting his mind on something else from God. He wants to go beyond. He wants to be the extra. He wants to be the one that goes beyond what others are doing. There's always a status quo. Amen. I wish the Lord had helped me to preach. I tell
you how I've been praying. I've been asking God, Brother Tony, give me a holy dissatisfaction. I don't want to be satisfied with where I'm at. I don't want to be satisfied with the status quo. Am I helping anybody here tonight? Is there anybody else on your walk with Christ that would agree with me and say, I want more? There's got to be more. There's got to be a deeper experience. There's got to be a deeper revelation. I'm telling you, young people and saints of God, no matter where you are, when your heart starts crying, amen, for a holy dissatisfaction, I'm not satisfied with where I am. I'm not satisfied with what I have. I want more of you. I tell you what's about to happen. You are going to have an Elisha experience in your life. God wants you to be challenged. He wants you to be hungry for more. And He wants to hear that cry from your heart. I've got to have more from you, Lord. Hallelujah. More of you. Yes, I know it. Hold your peace. I'm going on. Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. He says, The Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. Woo, hallelujah. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went on dry ground. Amen. Where I started reading to you was further down. This is the first part of it. Elijah is going with him. Elisha won't let him get out of his sight. Even when all the others around him tried to discourage. Amen. I keep feeling something here tonight. I'm going to come around and hit it again. I know school's going to start in the fall. We're going to have young people going into college. Some even to Christian universities. But I want to tell you something. There's a lot of misinformation, even in some of those places. Amen. Hear me now. I'm not trying to put you in a place where you have a better than thou attitude or a more holy than thou. And God's working in a lot of those places and in a lot of young people in their life. But I'm challenging you. Don't let them discourage you. Don't let them pull you back from where you are. What I want you to do is you encourage them and you try to pull them up. Amen. Come on now. And the only way you can do that, it's not just necessarily by your appearance on the outside, even though that is very important. But what is important is you have the manifestation. There's a lot of people doing good works, and there's a lot of people teaching to do good works, and we ought to do more of them, and we ought to teach more about it. Amen. But I tell you what, we have got to have the power and the demonstration. Amen. There was a lot of people among the sons of the prophets or the Bible school of the Old Testament that was doing a lot of good, but not all of them had an experience like Elisha was going to have, because he said, I'm going with the man of God. Amen. Oh, I wish I had a worship in church tonight. Why don't you just cut on loose? Would you preach with me a little bit here tonight? Let's see if we can help the young folks. Let's see if we can encourage the discouraged. Amen. God has more. God has a greater supply. And if you'll make up your mind, I'm going to have it. Amen. No matter what I'm going through, no matter who passes on it, I'm going all the way. I'm going to stay with the man of God. I'm going to cross the river with him. I'm going to let him demonstrate the manifestation of the power, working miracle power of God in my life. Hallelujah. Come on, church, let's praise Him a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, come on, let's praise Him a little bit. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. No story, no text. I know I'm not telling you anything new tonight, but I'm trying to encourage you again. Keep your eyes on the prize. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Elisha had been with Elijah so many times. He had seen so many miracles. He had seen God work, amen, through all different kind of ways and manifestations in the life of Elijah. And he had a made up mind before they ever crossed that Jordan. Amen. You will have to understand in the scriptures, they had already passed over to the other side. They had already left the Bible school on the other side of Jordan. When the question was asked directly to Elisha, what? You've been following me around. You've been just keeping on my heels. You won't let me get out of your sight. What in the world, boy, are you wanting anyway? Amen. And he said, I'm so glad you ask. I'll tell you what I want. I want a double portion. Amen. I don't want just what you have. I don't want just the amount you have. I tell you what I want, Elijah. I want a double portion of what you have. Amen. Come on, church. Let's don't leave the idea to the next generation that somehow they're going to have to get by unless, a matter of fact, if I know anything about the Word of God, they're going to need more than you had. And we've got to encourage them and lift them up and point them in the right direction and tell them there is a God that will never leave them nor forsake them. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. What kind of portion are you going to have? Sure enough, man, here's Elijah. He had, I don't know, maybe much more hardly got it out of his mouth to here come those chariots of fire. And those horses of fire. I wished I could demonstrate it, Brother Junior, but I mean, they had to be close, and he had to be watching, because he was not going to let him get out of his sight. But the horses of fire and chariots of fire come right down between where they were. It divided them asunder. Amen. I don't know. I just can't imagine hardly. I mean, here he is just walking along. I mean, rubbing elbows with Elijah, making sure that he's in his sight. And here's these horses of fire. No doubt they're spellbound there to gaze on them. And they just come down and shoot right between them. Amen. And Elisha, making sure he didn't take his eyes off Elijah. And Elijah's gone. That chariot of fire come by and Elijah jumped on it. But then here, from the sky, here come that mantle. Hallelujah. Man, y'all are awful quiet here tonight. Do y'all really love hearing me preach this much? Do you really? Or are y'all just getting through it? Here it comes, the battle. Oh, man. You know, nobody's watching. He's not showing off for anybody. But he just had seen the man of God take that mantle at the Jordan River and smite the water of Jordan. And it went back hither and thither. He just picks up that mantle, walks right back down to that river, just like I wish some of you all would do tonight. Amen. Come on now. Somebody say it's been a long time. It has been too long since we've seen somebody get saved. It ought to start stirring some of us a little bit. Been a little bit too long since we've seen somebody get baptized with the Holy Ghost. But you know what? It could happen tonight. Come on, can I get some amens from the church tonight? It could happen tonight, praise God. If somebody say, I want it. I've heard the testimonies about it. But I want the real Holy Ghost. I want the power of God. Amen. I challenge you, look in the heavens and see if you won't see it coming down like fire, praise God. And it'll set on you. And you can take that same thing just like Elisha did. And right back to the river, and he smote the water. And you know what? He said, where is the Lord God? Where is the Lord God of Elijah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I wonder what kind of service we would have right here in the middle of summer with all the distractions. If for one night right here on a Sunday night, if the saints of God could pull our minds from every distraction that we have and say there's one thing that's important and there's one thing I've got to have and I've got to have a double portion. I feel like I need more than I've ever had. I feel like I need more than any other generation has ever needed. Amen. And I'm dissatisfied with where I'm at. And I'm begging you, oh God, to give me a double portion. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. A double portion. After all these years of following Elijah, Elisha understands if he is going to carry on, he must have a double portion. That's what God's been dealing with me, this little message. He's seen what Elijah had faced in the past. He realized the sinfulness and the wickedness that was yet going on in the land of Israel. And he had an understanding, if I am going to make it, I've got to have more. Oh, come on, work with me, church. These young people I'm preaching to, can you look around and realize we request a prayer for some tonight? Amen. To my dismay and to my heartbreak, we have lost some. Oh, God. To our dishonor, there's some that some way, somehow, they got discouraged. Oh, God, help me. Amen. I know I need to take my part of the responsibility, and I do, and I pray about it, and it bothers me. But, oh, God, help us. What are we going to do to turn this generation? Amen. What are we going to do in our generation? Moms, dads, now I'm even preaching to grandparents. Are you satisfied with what you have? Amen. If you're satisfied with what you have, you'll never do what it takes to get anything else. If I'm going to carry on, I've got to have a double portion. I'm almost done preaching. I'm about to finish up. Somebody be thinking of a song, praying about it tonight. I have heard people say, I've heard people say this with my, as we say sometimes with my own ears, I've heard people say it. When someone passed away in whom they had great confidence and great respect, I've heard him say, I hope that I can be half the Christian that I believe that they were. Now, I understand the humility and I understand the honor. And I understand you're demonstrating a great respect for that person. But brothers and sisters, please, come on. Again, I've tried to talk to you a lot here lately. There's a lot of power in what we say. That's something that we need to change in our vocabulary. It's good to honor people and talk about it. But I don't know any way to honor them any better, Brother Todd, than to say, man, I like what they have so good. Instead of me settling for half of what they have. God, give me a double portion. Woo, hallelujah. I don't want half of what they had. Amen. It might have been enough. It might have been sufficient for their time and their generation of where they were to get through. But God, if I'm going to get through where I'm at, I can't make it on half of what they had. Amen. Are y'all hearing my heart tonight, saints? I feel like if I'm going to pastor this church, I've got to have more than what my father had. I've got to have more than what those others had. Amen. I've seen and I've read books and I've seen God demonstrated great wisdom and give certain ones powerful things to say for certain times they were in. But I'm telling you, church of this generation, no matter what position you hold, whether it's a position in the church or if you're a father or a grandfather or an aunt or uncle or whatever you are, we have a responsibility to this next generation to show them that we have a God that's going to sustain them and one that's going to keep them and see them through. Amen. And they need to see me challenged. Amen. I've said it again. I've expressed it from the pulpit tonight, but that has been my prayer. Lord, give me a holy dissatisfaction. Amen. We sing the song sometimes. My dad used to sing it a lot. I'm satisfied with His work on Calvary. I'm satisfied that what He done. I don't remember all the words. I'm satisfied with God's great redemption plan. I'm satisfied that it's sufficient for all men. I'm satisfied with His work on Calvary. But is my Lord really satisfied with me? Now I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what He'd have it be. And when I come to that great eternity, I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. And I'm saying I'm satisfied with what He's done on Calvary. I want you to know right now, don't anybody take me wrong. I'm not looking for something else. I'm not looking for another way. I'm not looking for another gospel. But I am asking God to give me a holy dissatisfaction because I want more. I want God to lead me more. I want to push myself. I want to exercise myself to reach more. I've got to have more of God. In this generation, when I see the things the world is facing, the things our young people are coming up against, young people, you've got to have more of God. Amen. You need more than what I have. Amen. I know some people sometimes like to lift themselves up as though I'm it. I've arrived. I'm the one that's achieved. I'm thankful for what God's done in my life. But you're going to live longer than I am. And you're going to need more than I have. Praise God. Can somebody say amen here tonight? Well, I'm almost to point to start paying folks for amens here tonight. Oh, I believe God wants to help us. I believe He's saying, I got a supply. I want to give it to you. Amen. There must be a hunger and a thirst. There's availability. I can't get by on half. I've got to have a double portion to survive in this environment. Matthew 25:1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Amen. Those 5 foolish felt sufficient in what they had. It's time to go. Time to go to the wedding. We've got the announcement. It's been planned. I go get my lamp and it's burning. It's looking good. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Amen. But that was the foolish. They took no oil. They felt sufficient with just what they had. Amen. You know, I know how we preachers are. We want to preach to encourage folks. I'd love to see you not just receiving, just coming off of my spool and right on yours. And I trust and have to trust and believe that it is. But sometimes we feel like we need to see a response to just know for sure that it's going that way. And I don't want to come across negative. I've tried to preach upbeat and uplifting. But I just want all of us tonight, while they're getting a song, for us to do a little inventory of where we are right now with what you have right now. You already made up your mind. You're not gonna get any more tonight. You're not gonna tear in the altars tonight. You're not gonna try to go through, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight, because we're not in revival. We're not in youth camp. We're not in fellowship meeting. Just a Sunday night service. The pastor's preaching on Sunday night. It's 8:10. We'll be out in a few minutes and we'll go on and fellowship, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. There's strength, spiritual strength, can be drawn from that. But I just wonder tonight, if we had to go from where we are with what we have. Amen. From verse 3, we learn much about the worldview of the foolish. They took no oil with them. They placed no premium at all on the supply. Help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. What if before service Wednesday night, God might allow somebody to have a testimony like some folks have that's here. I think about our sister Reed. I love her and appreciate her so much. But it come that point, Brother Hugh, that she had to identify her son. Not by his face, because it was broken and torn, Brother Les. Only identified by his tennis shoes. Huh? You know, at that time, you don't have time to go back to church. You don't have time to fast a couple of weeks. You don't have time to get on the phone to call everybody you know to pray. Right then, it's only in what you got right now. And that's the reason, you know. And I'm trying to be loving and sweet and encourage everybody that I can here tonight. That's the reason it's so dangerous for you to run. I mean, really, if you think about it, it doesn't cost any more to run on the other side of half. In your car, when you fill up your car, it doesn't cost any more to run on the full side of half than it does on the empty side of half. But why do most people that we know with their Christian experience, they live on the low side? Come on, church. I don't understand why we do. It's not, Brother Bruce, because God don't have it. And it's not because there's not a filling station on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And revivals and camp meetings and fellowship meetings and on and on and on and on. Conventions. It's just that we feel like that we'll do it later. We'll have more time. Sometimes we pass up the station just because we're in a hurry and we don't want to take time. And we have confidence and we feel like we can read the signs. And that we'll make it. Amen. There have been times that I have drove through. And I passed up the last one. And I realized I passed up the last one. And I took inventory and realized I didn't have enough to make it to the next one. The best thing I could do was try to find a place to turn around. And go back and try to get something. That's all I'm saying to you tonight. I know it's a simple message. I realize it's nothing profound. And I wish my singers were here ready to go. Because I'm probably just kind of rambling going along here. Trying to use the time. I don't want any dead space here for the enemy to try to work. But oh, church tonight, if I could encourage you. I don't want you to think I preached high and then trying to beat you up right here at the end, make you feel bad. That's not what I'm trying to do at all. I'm trying to encourage you. What if all of us prayed tonight for a holy dissatisfaction? Amen. Not that we don't like what we have. Not that we're not grateful for what God's already done in our life. But I wonder what it would be like to pastor a church where 200 people was just hungry. I mean, Brother Troy, hungry for God. Hungry for Him. Preacher, if you can tell me more. Amen. I like it. And I have been around some people. Instead of questioning everything, they were coming to me. What do you think I can do? What would be something I could do, preacher? I'd like to draw closer to the Lord. Amen. Boy, I tell you, it'll change your attitude. It'll change your walk with Him. You know, if you just take that time to go on by the getting place. I mean, we know if I went on down, I'm not going to take time. I just recently preached from the 25th chapter, but they knew where the supply was. When the bridegroom came, when the call was, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. They arose, all of them. They arose and trimmed their lamps, but the foolish said unto the wise, our lamps have gone out. Give us some. Let us borrow some. Maybe I could just take a little bit. And next week I can measure that back to you. They said, we don't have enough. But there's a place you can get it. Go buy for yourself. And they went. They did go. And I guess they got some. Evidently, they must have found a supply. Ooh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, it seemed like I'm feeling it now. Are y'all? It seemed like I'm kind of feeling this coming out of me now, coming over. I'm wondering, are you taking a hold of it? Would you reach out? No matter, I don't care where you are. I don't care if you've been saved 50 years. I don't care if you've been saved 70 years. I don't care if you've been saved 2 weeks. Man, there ought to be a desire in our heart. I tell you, the most dangerous place that anybody can be is to feel like that I have arrived. I'm there now. I've got all I need. You need to know anything, just see me. I can tell you what to do. I got it figured out. I've got it all. I got enough.
that's the most dangerous place you can be. But every day, no matter how much you have of God, it's, Lord, I think you have more. Lord, I'd like to have more. Don't settle for half. Say, Lord, I want a double portion. I've seen some good saints of God in crisis. I've seen them going through some things. Our precious family right here, it's our church, it's us tonight. But I watch Brother Brian and Sister Kendra. And my heart breaks for them, and it has this week. And the reason I don't say any more about it than I do, I don't want to embarrass Chase. We love him, and Chase has a lot of faith. Y'all hear me tonight? Hug that boy and encourage him. He has faith. He believes God's going to work in his life. But I tell you, some of you other young families, young couples, you're watching them go through some things that some of us older ones have watched others go through some things. I don't know why it's them. I don't know why they're the ones that's having to go through a hard trial like this. And I'm not saying that nobody else is. I know all of us have our trials and our challenges. But you know what? They didn't get to sit down and look at that and decide, you know, sign the bottom line on whether or not they wanted to go through that. That was just something that come their way. And we don't know. I don't know. I don't know what will happen. We don't know what's going to happen next week. We're believing the blessings of God are going to be abundant, and they're going to be abundantly upon us. And we want God to give us a double portion. I'll tell you what. If you've got the Elisha cry, what do you want? What do you want your portion to be? Would you stand with me tonight? I continue to ask that question. What do you want your portion to be? Are you willing to settle for what you have in your vessel right now? Are you willing to take inventory and look and see what you have right now? God's been pretty good to me. All of us can say that. He has. He has been pretty good to us. You know, most of us here have a job, have a family, have a good church. You're going to have something to go to tomorrow. You have a place to live. You know, I do, Brother Hugh, sometimes, especially when I think about my ministry and what I want to see done. And, you know, I'm 55 years old. I told the church board recently, I'd sure like to be your pastor for at least another 10 years. Maybe longer if God would permit. I'd love that. I plan on having good health. I'm trying to do some things to stay healthy, because I want to stay around and preach the gospel to you a long time. And I'll be honest with you. I get to pastor a wonderful church. And I am so glad that we get to have fellowship one with another. But I tell you, Brother Caleb, it would be so easy for me to just settle back on my lees and say, I got a good church. Everything's going along pretty good. Making it fine. Everything's doing. And I've had, Brother Junior, I'll be honest, I've had people just say, well, just be satisfied with what you have. It's not that I'm not satisfied. I'm glad for what God's doing in my life. I'm thankful for what He's doing in yours. But the point is, if we get where we're just content to be where we are, and there's nothing pushing us anymore, it's at that point it becomes dangerous what God has already done in our life. I didn't get to where I am by myself, by my own strength and my own power. I'm here because God's brought me here. And if God's going to take us and anything else is going to happen good, it's going to be because of Him. So I'm going to try again to redouble my efforts to be like Elisha. I'm going to try to get where God is. I'm going to try to get where the man of God is. I'm going to try to get where I know the blessings flow. And say, oh God, give me more. Oh God, give me more. Thank God for what I've seen you do in other people's life. Thank God for what you're doing in Brother Robbie's ministry. Thank God what you're doing in Brother Todd's ministry and Brother Jimmy's. Brother John's, all these other preacher brothers, thank God. Lord, what do you want out of me? Where do you want me to be in 5 years? What do you want me to be doing in 10 years? Where do you want this church at Bethany to be in 5 years, 10 years, 1 year? Are we all satisfied? Are we willing to just sit back and say, well, it looks to me like it's rocking along pretty good. Let's just be satisfied where we're at. Or are we going to say, God, push me? Well, you know, I misspoke that. God, lead me. Amen. There wasn't anybody whipping Elijah. There wasn't anybody encouraging Elisha every morning. Now you better set your alarm. You better get up. You better stay right with him. You better go with him every place he goes. No, he was self-motivated at that point to follow him. Thank you, Jesus. Would you raise your hands right now? If you can, you feel like it and you're able. Would you pray with me right now? Just say, oh Lord, I'd really like to have a double portion of that baptism of the Holy Ghost. Whatever age you were when you received it, why don't you just ask him tonight for a double portion? I was 17 years old sometime in the middle of February, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost. It was a wonderful experience. But I tell you what I believe. I feel like I need more of it now than I did then. I was in high school. I was going to public school. And I was trying to live for God. And I was sure having some struggles. And you know what? The Lord helped me so wonderfully. Got me through it. Praise God. What about now? I need more of Him now. I need more of you. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just bow your heads for a moment now? We've worshiped. We've praised Him. Just abide in His presence here. While she sings that verse, more of you, Lord. Hold just a moment or two. Then we're going to come in and pray.
Empty and bare, Lord,
hear that.
My prayer for more.
Oh, we're in a good place right now. We're in a holy place right now.
I need more of you.
Come on, let's hold just another moment.
More of you, Lord. I've had it all.
Lord, I want more.
But what I need.
Lord, I need
more of you.
Lord, I'm going to try to get more this week and next week.
Of things I've had.
By the time fellowship meeting rolls around.
Yet
I'm going to try to have a little more of my best. I'm going to do it a little bit different tonight. Just sing softly like you was a minute ago, Sister Lisa. How about all these young people just starting to stream down to these altars tonight? Filling these altars. On both sides, the young ladies over here, the young men over here. Let's get as many of them as we can, shoulder to shoulder. Hold back just a little bit, parents, grandparents. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, look what we have here. Come on, young man, get in that altar. Find a place to kneel down. I want to give room for your parents and your grandparents. Your pastors and your Sunday school teachers. Now, leaders and deacons and moms and dads, I'm not asking you to bury your head somewhere tonight on the pew or up here. I'm asking you to walk around. We could just make a train here tonight. Moms, dads, grandfathers, grandmothers, aunts, uncles, school teachers, Sunday school teachers, deacons.
I've had it all.
Lay your hands on these young people.
But what I need,
and ask God to give them what you have, and even a greater portion. A double portion of that Spirit.
I've had.